In a few minutes, the funeral of a superhero, Captain America, is buried at Arlington National Cemetery. But now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Any baseball fan can tell you who A-Rod is. That's the New York Yankees' Alex Rodriguez. But there's also F-Rod and I-Rod. Outside the ballpark, it's a similar story with names like Tomcat and Brangelina, all of which makes Devin Gordon shudder. What, he wonders, happened to the great American nickname? In a country that can come up with the Splendid Splinter and Mr. October, can't we do any better than AI and T-Mac? In a column he wrote at Newsweek.com, Devin Gordon points the finger directly at the nicknamer-in-chief. President Bush, he said, is leading the downfall of the nickname. If there's a celebrity nickname that you especially despise, let us know. If there's one you like, we'd like to hear about that, too. And could you come up with a better nickname for a favorite ballplayer or some other celebrity? We're open to suggestions. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. You can also drop some names on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Devin Gordon's a senior writer for Newsweek. He's in our New York bureau. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And what's your nickname?
Well, in college, some friends called me Digo, which, you know, in fitting with the column that I wrote is, you know, not especially imaginative, but that's what I got stuck with.
That's what you get. Well, a lot of people, you write that the worst nickname in sports right now, or at least the biggest waste, is that of Daisuke, Boston's Daisuke Matsuzaka. Not even a nickname, actually.
Yeah, that's his first name. Daisuke, D-I-C-E-K, capital letter K. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just a phonetic spelling of how you pronounce his first name.
And, not how it's spelled, but not, how it's pronounced.
Not how it's spelled, but how it's pronounced. And that's, you know, that's a tremendous waste of a great opportunity. I mean, this is a phenomenal Japanese pitcher. He's, you know, throws six different pitches. He can pitch, you know, endlessly. I mean, he never seems to get tired. He's a colorful guy. He was a rife opportunity for a great nickname, the kind of person that a baseball guy 30, 40 years ago would have come up with a beautifully colorful nickname for. And instead, we decided to basically call him by his first name. It's just a waste.
And it could have been Bazooka, you say.
Well, somebody came up with the nickname Bazooka. I think it was Bill Simmons of ESPN. He's a very popular sports columnist for ESPN. And I think it was his idea. I remember hearing it before Bazooka, or before Dice K arrived in the U.S. as a pitcher for the Red Sox. And I loved it. It fit perfectly. It was, you know, it was a great image. It fits with a pitcher. It sort of has a bit of a resonance with the last part of his last name, Bazooka Matsuzaka. It was great. And instead, we went with Dice K. And this is just, you know, it was sort of a lighthearted piece about the fact that we've abandoned our cleverness. We've just gotten really lax and really lazy in taking up nicknames for people, which is a very American tradition.
Now, there are, of course, great nicknames from the baseball past, but it seems to me that I don't think anybody actually went up to Ted Williams and said, excuse me, a Splendid Splinter, how'd it go today?
That's true. I mean, there's a difference between nicknames that you get through the press and through the media and through popular lore and what people call you every day as sort of a shorthand. So maybe people weren't calling him Splendid Splinter. But, you know, there was just a better tradition, I think. I mean, there's always nostalgia for the way things were back in the old days. And I'm sure that there were plenty of lousy nicknames, you know, back in the 40s and 50s. I mean, Stan the Man Musial isn't exactly the most imaginative nickname ever to come along. And that's what he was immortalized as. But it does seem like in this SportsCenter era, in this sort of chummy George Bush era where everyone gets a nickname to show that you're in with the guys, you're in with the crowd, we're very lazy about it. We just abbreviate people's last names and cut it down to a syllable, or we add a Y to the end of their name like Timmy Duncan or something like that. And it's unfortunate because it takes some of the fun out of identifying and idolizing a player if you can do something more creative with it.
There are, of course, there was an era where Charlie Finley, the late owner of the Kansas City and Oakland Athletics, he forced people to take up nicknames. He was Jim Hunter until he signed a contract with the A's, and he said, your name now is Catfish.
Well, imagine if Finley hadn't done that, if Finley hadn't forced his team to have nicknames for every player, we would have lost on a name like Catfish. Now, I'm sure for every Catfish, there were, you know, 12 Timmies that probably weren't so great.
Well, and Blue Moon Odom was a pretty good one.
That's a great one, too. I mean, I'm not advocating for forced, conscripted nicknames here. I'm just saying that in general, you know, we should try to opt for something a little bit more creative. I think this is a problem in part when players give other players nicknames because, you know, they're popular for their skills with a baseball bat or with a football or with a basketball, not mm-hmm. because they're great linguists. And unfortunately, the names they tend to give each other stick. And I'm not sure if we should we should yield so easily to the names they give each other.
Like Derek Jeter's nickname, he's called by his fellow ballplayers, Jeet.
Yeah, Jeet. I mean, at least Jeet has a little bit of a ring to it, but it's still pretty lazy when it comes right down to it.
And you blame this laziness on the erstwhile owner of the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, it's not entirely George W. Bush's fault. It definitely predated this trend, I think, predated his presidency. But, you know, I think that there is a connection between his relationship with the sporting world, where these kinds of nicknames are so commonplace, and his transfer into politics and bringing with him this nicknamer-in-chief skill or ability or penchant. He loves to give people nicknames. But what you don't often hear about is how lousy the nicknames are that he gives people. And mm-hmm. there was a friend of mine at Newsweek who covered the Bush campaign in 2000, and Bush's nickname for him was Newsweek Man, which seems as profoundly unimaginative as you could possibly come up with. The most famous nickname of all that Bush gave anyone is when he said, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job, for Michael Brown, the former FEMA head. Mm-hmm. Brownie is his nickname for Michael Brown. Brownie. I mean, it just there's a laziness there. There's an unimaginativeness there. But he thinks he's being very clever, when actually I think there's a little bit of a condescension when he gives someone a nickname. I think he's implying some sort of superiority towards them. So he gives them these diminutives that are really unimaginative and really bland, and actually robs them of their individuality and their personality. And that's what a bad nickname does, is it doesn't capture the essence of a real character. I mean, that's why A-Rod and I-Rod and K-Rod are such boring nicknames for what should be interesting players.
Mm-hmm. And you point out, of course, I-Rod, Ivan Rodriguez also has a perfectly good nickname, Pudge.
Yeah, Pudge was Carlton Fisk's nickname as well. And Pudge is a classic nickname for catchers. A lot of catchers have been called Pudge through the years. Fisk and Rodriguez are the most famous of them. But Pudge is just sort of a colorful nickname. It's fun to say. It's indicative of a catcher in a squat position. It's just a good nickname. And that's the kind of thing that's very personality-driven. But I-Rod is just a generic ripoff of seven other nicknames all shared by guys with Rodriguez for their last name.
Let's get some listeners in on this conversation. We're talking with Devin Gordon, a senior writer for Newsweek, 800-989-8255. And Bill is on the line. Bill in Avon Lake, Ohio.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Devin. How you guys doing?
All right.
Good. I love your show, Neil.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call it a couple of my favorite baseball nicknames. One of my favorites was Sal the Barber Magley.
Yes.
And they called him the barber because he could shave the hitters and keep them from crowding the plate.
Now, see, that's a great nickname.
And I thought that's one of the best ones I ever heard. And, of course, Cy Young. A lot of people don't realize his name was
That's Ed not his name.
Young, but Cy Young was short for Cyclone because of his windup.
Well, let's go to Connie Mack, short for Cornelius McGillicuddy.
There you go. There's another one.
Oh, that's a pretty good
one. We got
one,
a great one here in Cleveland, by the way. I'm sure you've heard of Pronk. Yep. Travis Hafner.
Yeah, Pronk is the one is the only one I mention in my piece as being a great nickname.
That
it's probably the only great nickname that baseball has come up with in the past 5 years because it fits the guy. It's a perfect nickname for a guy as big and burly and sluggerish like Travis Hafner. He looks like a Pronk.
Right, he's half project, half donkey, and that's why they call him Pronk.
That's
and
great.
We give credit to Bill Selby, of course, for nicknaming him that. So.
Yeah, yeah. You can give somebody a nickname. They don't often, sometimes they don't stick, but that one certainly will probably be on his tombstone.
Oh, definitely. I wish he'd just pick up his season this year. He's kind of having an off year, so we'll see what happens.
All right.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get, this is Ben. Ben's with us from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks
All right.
For, thanks for having me.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say really quick, I'm glad that you're discussing this topic today. I was just watching Animal House last mm-hmm. night. One of my favorite scenes in there is where Belushi's going down the line of pledges and giving everyone their nickname. I just wanted to share that one of the my favorite nicknames I've ever heard in Hollywood is Joe Pantoliano, mm-hmm. who they call Joey Pants.
Joey Pants.
Yes. Yeah.
Just great. I wish I was Joey Pants.
Yeah, the Animal House is a good example. It's just a camaraderie thing, and it's a fun conversation to have. They're just fun to talk about. It's a community thing. It's an enjoyable thing. And when you just do something like T-Mac or AI, there's just no personality and no fun to it.
It does help to have a last name that's unpronounceable, though.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Right. Thanks very much, Ben.
Thank you.
All right, here's an email we got from Matt in Independence, Ohio. My lab partners in electronics school named me lunch break because of my inability and or unwillingness to work through the noon meal.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Lunch. It calls to mind, you know, some friends of mine who are Boston Red Sox fans, they had a player there who's now on the Yankees, actually, named Doug Minkiewicz.
Mm-hmm.
And Minkiewicz is a really tough name to pronounce, especially if you look at his name, which has about 18 consonants in it. And when he was with the Red Sox, they couldn't really pronounce his name. So some friends of mine dubbed him I Chart because his last name looked like the letters on an I Chart. It never caught on, but that's a great nickname.
That's
in the spirit of how it should be done.
I used to broadcast minor league baseball games and came up on Minkiewicz's name cold on a broadcast of the New Britain Rock Cats before anybody knew how to pronounce it and had a little difficulty with it.
Yeah, that'll make your brow sweat, a name like that.
Let's get one last call in. Jake is with us from where are you in Minnesota?
I'm in Invergrove Heights. It's a suburb of St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm just calling about one of my favorite pitchers out here. Actually went as far as changing his name from John to his nickname Boof Bonzer.
Boof Bonzer.
And that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's a starting pitcher, you know. I'd say that's unique, you know. If you seen the guy, he's tall. He just looks like a boof.
Yeah. A nickname like that ought to be worth, run and a half off your ERA.
It should be.
Boof could use it.
I was also going in, with the AITO, you know, all these things. I think that a lot of that stuff is coming from, we live in, an age where everything's so fast, and with the cell phones and everything like that, where I believe that, you know, a lot of things just get busted down.
Or it could be from text messaging. You're
yeah,
right.
That's an interesting
idea.
Theory.
Jake,
yeah.
Thanks very much, Jake. Appreciate that. So you're going to give your children encouraging nicknames, do you think, Devin?
Well, if I can come up with a good one that fits them, I mean, you know, Boof Bonzer is such a great example. I mean, Boof should be a major league pitcher just based on his name.
Yeah.
You're right to point out that it could shave a run and a half off of his ERA because he's been hovering between the majors and the minors pretty much, you know, so far. And a name like Boof, how can he not be a great major league pitcher with a name like Boof Bonzer?
Devin Gordon, thanks very much. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Devin Gordon, a senior writer for Newsweek. You can find his column, The Decline and Fall of the Nickname, through a link at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.